It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Thanks for joining me. We're going to have Gerald Celente on in the next segment for a full hour. We're going to take calls probably 15 to 20 minutes before he's out of here. Please, let's keep the calls on, you know, what's going on in both the economic and political world and where you think it's going for Mr. Celente. Then in the second hour, we have Joseph Skelton, the creator and webmaster of cremationofcare.com, a really good website out there. And we're going to have him on for a full hour as well. And then in the third hour, we're going to play some of the Alex Jones-Chuck Norris interview for the first half hour. And then I'm going to do a little bit of a news blitz and take your calls as well in the final half hour. Now, before we go to Mr. Celente, let's just kind of recap the day. Now, first of all, there's a really good story out there. I don't have my stack in front of me yet, but Obama courting socialites. You know, as if we didn't know that Obama has really been puppeteered by the elite. Now they're saying he's courting socialites. Come on, give me a break. The power elite of the people behind him. It's just unbelievable. You know, it's just unbelievable to say anything different. Then we're going to talk about how the UN is saying the world isn't ready for climate change. Oh, the world's just not ready for climate change. We're going to have to put all these new regulations and restrictions in, and we're going to have to change the entire monetary system. And I believe it's the Washington Post is actually going to cut their business section out of the paper. Believe it or not, 6 days of the week, I can't make this up. They're just going to drop the business section because apparently business isn't doing too well. So why have a section about it? It's kind of utter lunacy, but that's how dumb the populace is. You know, out of sight, out of mind. Washington Post doesn't have a business section. No big deal. I'll just go to the Sunday one. That's for the Sunday folks, the business folks. That's not for me. Unbelievable. Just unbelievable. I'm not even going to discuss the last story I printed out for Jaron because it's too unbelievable. We'll talk about that one in the last half hour. It's a pretty interesting one, I'm not going to lie. And yesterday we also talked about, I want to keep talking about this new company that's coming into the United States worldwide. This has kind of been around for a while, but forget about your debit card, forget about your checkbook, forget about cash. Now your cell phone, you'll be able to either pay a bill by swiping your cell phone, you know, the iPhones and such, or texting. Text a promo code to a certain number, and then you're going to be able to pay your bills wirelessly. A lot of people are already do that with some of their bills, but apparently they'll be using it in malls. T-Mobile, Singular, AT&T, they've all signed on board for a two-year contract. So, really interesting show. Like I said, Gerald Celente, before he comes on, I really want to get in. How do you get into trends research? How do you become a trends forecaster? And the man has an incredible track record. You know, this is a guy who was in politics prior to getting into trends forecasting and then just made an unbelievable amount of correct predictions. I mean, you just look at his Wikipedia page. Wikipedia, not the best source out there. But, I mean, let me just go through some of the things that are backed up by mainstream news outlets that he was able to claim. Let's see where we got. Recent predictions. No, that wasn't it. There was a much better one right here I went through before. Let's see. Here we go. It's just unbelievable. According to several media sources published after the events, its successful predictions include Black Monday, the fall of the Soviet Union, the 1997 Asian financial crisis, the quarter of the dot-com bubble burst, the subprime mortgage crisis, and the financial panic of 2008, including the statement that corporate giants would tumble to their death. You know, so this is a guy you should be listening to, especially all you young folks out there that may not tune into Alex and tune into my show instead, or you know, you want something after this economic collapse. You want to have a little bit put aside. You want to have a future after they gut America and try to bring in this North American Union. We'll be back after this with Gerald Celente. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. Folks, we are live over at PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. I want to remind people we did drop the Obama deception, I believe, 2 or 3 days early. It's all over the web. It's actually It's hard to tell that it's number one at Google Video, but if you go to video.google.com, it is the most featured video. They actually took down the rankings of the hottest, the most blogged, the most shared, and of course the most viewed. They took down the view counts on Google Videos about 2 years ago. So, you know, that video is going viral. It's all over the torrent networks. And our next guest, Gerald Celente, is, of course, one of the main speakers in it. And he does a really good job of talking about the banking institutions, how they've been trying to take over this country since its inception, and how they've really been successful. So thank you for joining us, Mr. Celente.
Oh, Jason, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's really my pleasure because, you know, not only are you a prominent trends forecaster, you're all over the news. You're on Fox News all the time. I've seen you on CNBC as well. And you're really one of the few analysts out there that are not placating to the mainstream media, but you're telling the truth. You're telling not only what has come, but what is to come. And you're predicting a huge financial crisis, really a gutting of the economy by 2012, where the common citizen is going to be more worried about getting food than giving Christmas presents.
Yeah, we're entering into the greatest depression. What's going on, by the way, current events form future trends. It's very interesting to see the current events as we're speaking today. If you were to listen to the media, recovery is just around the corner along with prosperity. President Obama has quickly changed his tune. And everybody now on Wall Street, the Coney Island Barkers, are saying that the evidence can be seen in the rising stock market. And it's really nothing more than a con game. It's a confidence game. And when you really look at the whole total picture, I mean, could you believe that they keep quoting John Stewart and the little bout that he's having with this guy Cramer? Mm-hmm. I mean, these are clowns. I mean, let's get this straight. These are not intellectuals. These are clowns. This is a comedy act. So between the comedy act and the confidence men, the people are buying into it in very large numbers because people are afraid to look at what's really happening in this country. When we say the greatest depression, we're not saying this for hyperbole. We're looking at the facts. We just saw yesterday numbers that came out that show that 45% of the global wealth evaporated last year. I mean, what are they waiting for, 100%? You look at the numbers that came out with new auto sales in February. They were down 41% across the board. What are they waiting for, 100%? This thing is collapsing so fast, and the media is really basically made up of con men and clowns. To be quoting these guys over and over, Colbert, did you hear what Jon Stewart said? Did you hear what Hannity said? How about what Laurel and Hardy or Abbott and Costello said? I mean, that's the level we're talking at here.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because you know what? The Cramer John Stewart video that you're talking about that's all over, that is the other hot video other than the Obama deception, which Alex put out, and they're vying for the top spot right now. So it really does seem like it's like this cartoonish reality that they want you to believe in, and then the hardcore reality we're trying to present to people are really at odds, at least today and the next probably couple days over at Google Video. But it is interesting that people need those. Like you said, I mean, John Stewart by trade is a comedian.
And even he's a comedian. That's not by trade. It's what he is.
Yeah. And then because they put him in a setting where it looks like a news show, and we have this dumbed down Generation X. And I'm guilty too. I mean, I watch The Daily Show. I watch Colbert. But to take that as your actual news is just, it's crazy. It's a parody of a parody, because what the mainstream media is giving us is really a parody of reality. It's so black and white. It's so thinly veiled. I mean, the way that for instance, Glenn Beck is on the news today. He did his big We're Going to Take Back America simulcast, and we had Chuck Norris on Alex's program earlier. He let Chuck Norris talk for about, you know, a minute and a half, and he cut him off, and he didn't want him to talk any longer. And then they have this town hall meeting where it was the most softball of questions. Glenn, I wish we would produce things in this country again. Of course we wish we produced things. The reason that our economy is the way it is because we don't produce anything. We're huge consumers. We didn't really take care of ourselves in the unions and actually get rights. We don't have our pension funds anymore. We let them rob us of that. And then we let them have this banker bailout where they're literally printing up trillions of money and stealing trillions of dollars and stealing the money they're printing out of thin air. It's absolute insanity. And it looks like, I mean, from my perspective, that they are going to buy up a huge amount of the world infrastructure that they don't already have control of.
You know, when we're hearing about this Cramer thing, I'm going to read to you a passage from our Trends Journal, the spring of 2007, 2 years ago. This is just part of it. Like Coney Island barkers and street cons dealing three-card Monty, the Wall Street sharks sucker in the average Joe to take a chance on Lady Luck in a game that's rigged. Jim Cramer of CNBC's Mad Money explained how the game is rigged, the joy he gets from doing it, and how easy it is to fleece, quote, moron longs, end quote. Quote, I have to talk about what it is like at my hedge fund and what other hedge funds do, Mr. Cramer said. Anyway, the point being, we wrote about this 2 years ago. And now, as you're saying it, this is the top news on YouTube and on Google. This is how late they are. People are looking to comics and cons. We went over this bit by bit, piece by piece, spelling the whole thing out. And in the same thing, we ended by saying, yet despite knowing, quote, that everything that they heard was a lie, that was his words, by the way, and that, quote, there's just fiction and fiction and fiction, we go on, end quote, we go on to say CNBC keeps the lies and the fiction flowing. As their promo says, quote, Jim Cramer believes that there is always a bull market somewhere, and he wants to help you find it, end quote. How about there's always bulls somewhere, and they keep selling it? So, and then right after that, we went on to say, we don't believe fiction or Goldilocks and her too cold fairy tale economy. Here's what we said. We see the economic signs for what they are and not for what they wish them to be. And the signs we see spell recession. This is in the spring of 2007. We rip Cramer apart, not like this clown act that they're putting there, with facts and figures. So the people are being deceived. And I have not seen yet Alex's new DVD, of course, I'm anxiously awaiting to, and people better get ready because we're going to go into a collapse that's going to knock people off their feet. And I can say this to you, Jason, with full confidence, that the only people that are going to survive in the greatest depression are those that are going to be strong, both physically, emotionally, spiritually, as well as financially, because all of these people, these cubicle dwellers, you know, that have to suck up to their boss to stay, keep on their jobs, they're going to be on the streets.
Well, I think that's a great opportunity for the government to bring them into these other government jobs. That's one of the things we covered this week. They're saying, well, in tough times, government jobs have more appeal because the government can take care of you and you'll have some sort of a benefit. And then the IMF is now openly saying that a global recession is coming. But, you know, it's much worse than a global recession because if we go into this deep, dark depression, I mean, 650,000-plus jobs lost in February publicly, and it's probably a lot more than that. You know, we do that again this month and the next month. We're talking about, like you said, the greatest depression in this country's history, and if our country goes into a Great Depression, the world is going to go into a Great Depression. Where does that fit in with this Gordon Brown idea? And it's probably not Gordon's idea. You know, it's obviously an elitist idea of bringing in this quote-unquote global New Deal. I mean, he sat before Congress. He pitched this, you know, he said, we need a new banking system. We need a new currency. And, you know, they got up there and they cheered for him. He talked about stewardship of the environment. Apparently, we need a carbon tax as well. Why don't you speak on this global New Deal?
Well, yeah, I mean, Gordon Brown, another shade of beige. My God, why would anybody believe this blowhard? And that's all they are. As you mentioned, you know, I was at a graduate school in 1970. I ran the mayoral campaign in Yonkers, New York. And I worked in Westchester politics, and they sent me up to Albany. I was the assistant to the secretary of the New York State Senate. And Jason, it was the worst job I've had in my life. we'd be hanging out in the back of the chamber. You know, I was a young guy, you know, my 20s. Mm-hmm. And I'd be chit-chatting with my buddy about this or that. And all of a sudden, a senator would walk in the chamber. And my pal would leave me to go pull the chair out to help the senator sit down. And my friend would come back, and I'd say to him, I said, what's the matter? The cat can't sit down by himself. He needs some help. The point being, you know, I hated that job. I left after the session. To watch grown men grovel is a disgusting spectacle. And that's the way you get to the top in politics. You suck your way up to the top.
Oh, man, I couldn't agree more. More with Gerald Celente after this. It's the Info Warrior, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We have Gerald Celente of the Trends Research Institute. And you were just discussing, you know, how you worked in a mayoral campaign in Yonkers, and then you went out to work with senators out in Albany, New York. I'm from upstate New York. I actually love Albany. How did you get into this Trends Research Institute? You're the founder. How do you get into something like that?
Well, what happened was, from there I went on to, I taught at St. John's University, American Politics and Campaign Technology, and from there I was a government affairs specialist for the chemical industry, basically, a big part of it, back when I didn't know any better, and throughout the 70s. Matter of fact, I was in D.C. when the first oil crisis hit in 73. And later on, as time went on, and I'd been around long enough, Jimmy Carter was president, and the Iranian conflict was breaking out. And I had been reading about this thing for years. I knew how the CIA overthrew the democratically elected government of Iran, Mossadegh, in 1953. You know, the CIA, the whole deal, and I knew about the brutality of the Shah's regime, the SAVAK, the secret police. It was second only to the SS. And year after year, you're reading about this brutality. So when the revolution started to happen, and I'm watching this thing unfold, all of a sudden, you know, a couple of million people are taking to the streets. And I said, oh, boy, this thing is real. Well, Jimmy Carter goes to spend New Year's Eve with the Shah and his wife. He and Rosalind went. And in those days when the president went abroad, it was a big deal. Kind of like if George Bush took a trip, you know, before he became president. And so Carter comes back, and, you know, they used to have the whole thing, you know, they salute, you know, and they walk out of the helicopter on the lawn of the White House, walks up to the microphones, and he announces to the American people that the Shah is the island of stability in the Middle East. And at that moment, Jason, I became a political atheist. I'd been around long enough. Mm-hmm. And I knew that they'll say anything. You know, it was just the beginning. You know, I heard Richard Nixon before, I'm no crook. Later I heard, you know, I had sex with that woman, Monica Lewinsky. I smoked, but I didn't inhale. Saddam Hussein has weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. Read my lips, no new taxes. So, but back then, you know, this hit me like a ton of bricks. And I watched this guy lie right in front of everybody. And the people that weren't informed bit the bait. So then I said to myself, what will be the implications? Because there's going to be, they're going to throw the Shah out. This is going to really be a mess. And I realized that gold and oil prices would go up. And I started trading both of them. And I made enough money to leave my job. And that's how I began the Trends Research Institute, on the foundations of being a political atheist. I don't bow to political gods. I've been around long enough. I don't kneel at political altars, and I don't care about political parties. And the other thing, I look at information for what it is, not the way I want it to be. And I realized that current events form future trends. But one of the things that we do, and I began to do over the years because of the various work I was doing in government, was always making connections between different fields with the understanding that all things are connected. So I could hear Obama say today how, you know, more optimistic he is about the economy in the future, but then I'm reading about what's going on in Latvia, Lithuania, Hungary, Romania, Ukraine, you know, one place after another, they're going underwater. You know, they had revolutions in Iceland, they overthrew the government. So we look at things on a global basis. So when they're talking about, you know, what's going on in the home front, and they want to talk about a recession going on, or things are going to turn around, hey, how about China's export figures? They're off 25%.
Yeah, and China makes everything. I mean, folks, Walmart's the only one out there reporting a gain, by the way, in February. They said sales rose 5%, and they're the only ones that are going to make a gain because they're using Chinese slave labor. We'll be back with Gerald Celente after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
She was a virgin when I first met her. Rock and sock and popping out of the Catholic school sweater.
All right, folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior. And remember, we throw up all the archives over at theinfowarrior.com. You can check out all the clips. If you're not a PrisonPlanet.tv member, a couple days after over on YouTube, and we post those on the side clips. We're talking to Gerald Celente of the Trends Research Institute. And what is your take on that? Is it kind of ironic that while the rest of the economy, crumbles and falls, Walmart is still making money? And in my opinion, they're going to continue to make money. I think they're going to be one of the few, you know, big corporations out there because they've exploited slave labor and really put a lot of small towns in a position where that's the only place they can get, you know, their food. You know, plumbing stores are out of business. I mean, they just take up so much. I mean, a supercenter really is a supercenter. So, I mean, obviously Walmart's going to survive, but are they going to thrive in this new environment?
Well, yeah. When you look and go back to 2008, the two major companies that showed profit, the stocks went up in 2008, were Walmart and McDonald's. That tells you where the country is going. It's sinking to its lowest common denominator. So, it's a... You know, we're seeing basically it's one of the people in the lead into Alex Jones' new DVD, The Obama Deception, was talking about fascism. And that's basically what it is when you have this kind of control going on. So, no, there's no end in sight unless, of course, we have a revolution and people start saying to themselves, you know, do I want to be an indentured servant to the oligarchs? Because that's what it's really turning out to be.
Yeah, it really is. More and more people are waking up. I don't know if they're waking up that much, though. But we got a bunch of callers on the line that really want to talk to you, Gerald. So let's go to Matt in Missouri. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Got a couple questions for Mr. Celente.
Sure.
Can you hear me okay?
Yep.
Okay. So I get a lot of my benefits from the VA, as I'm a disabled vet. And with the government absolutely broke and the dollar dying, is the government going to stop giving veterans their medical benefits? And if so, how do they think we're going to keep fighting this enemy Al-Qaeda they created in the 80s? And the second one, do you also think, you've talked about a lot of things going under. Do you think also there's going to be a major flux of hospitals going under? I think that's all I got.
All right, well, thanks for the call, Matt. Go ahead.
Well, Matt, they're not going to take your benefits away from you, and you know, you may even get more. But what's going to happen is, that in terms of dollars, what you get is going to buy less, because what they're doing now, they keep printing more and more money, and they keep devaluing the currencies more and more. So there's going to be a point of hyperinflation. And we don't give financial advice, but I can tell you what I do personally, and that is I buy gold. So, yeah, people are still going to get their Social Security. They're going to get their benefits. But what they get is going to buy less. And they will cut back on hospitals, and they'll keep pinching pennies over and over again, because what we're in is a Titanic situation. And that's what's happened to America. The ship is going down. And there are lifeboats, there are life rafts, and there are life jackets. But in America today, they're only there for the too big to fail or the too big to drown. So the rest of us, we get locked into steerage, and we go down with the ship. So that's what's going on. It's going to be less for everybody except for those at the top.
All right, let's go to Matt in the UK. Matt, what's on your mind?
Hi, Jess. You all right? And listen to the show, and thanks for letting me on your show, by the way.
You got it.
Yeah, I've got a question for Gerald, actually. Hi, sir, and thank you much for letting me speak, actually. Yeah, the question is, I watched you on the Obama reception, and I thought your speech was actually amazing, what you said about the global bankers, especially in the UK, and... what's your gist on UK people? Because people are not awake in the UK about Gordon Brown and the fact that he's obviously from the Bilderberg Group and he's a globalist, basically.
Mm-hmm. So what's your question?
People aren't awake anywhere. I mean, you know, there are very few people that want to face up to what's going on. And, you know, this has been going on, you know, for probably, you know, generation after generation. People are afraid to think for themselves. They want to believe that the government people are smarter than they are, and they don't want to face the fact that the ship of state is sinking. There is a, if you go on YouTube, there was a station from Rhode Island. They just did an interview at the Trends Research Institute on me. I don't know the call letters. I believe it's Channel 6. And I wrote to the fellow to thank him for the wonderful job that they did. And here's his response to me. He said, "I've told many people about our interview and what you said will happen, and they don't want to believe it." And that's what he's saying. He said, a few of the emails we received, where they were angry at me, here it is, and ABC6 for not putting, quote, good news about our economy on the air.
I mean, that's just childlike mentality. It really shows how society is refusing to own up and be adults and face this thing head on.
Exactly. I'm reading it. You know, this is it. This is it right here. You know, and as I said, they're being seduced by clowns and con men. How the hell could people quote John Stewart, Hannity, Combs, as I said, Laurel Hardy, Abbott and Costello? It's comedy and con men. What con men do is they make you believe that they have the answers. Put your trust in me. You need confidence. Confidence in the economy and confidence that I know how to fix the problem.
All right, let's jump to our next caller. Let's go to Brandon in Indiana. Brandon, what's on your mind?
Yeah, I had a question for Gerald.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you're familiar with this H.R. 875, the Food Modernization Act.
Is that part of Codex?
Well, it's I'm not sure if it's specifically part of that. Basically, seems like what they're trying to do is
squeeze out the organic farmers, squeeze out the small farmers, basically make it impossible to live by their regulations. Correct?
Yeah, that, and your food's gonna be guaranteed to be modified and full of whatever they decide to spray in it. I guess what I want to know is how realistic during these times is the ability for them to pass something like that.
Well, very easy. Look what they've done. They keep passing things over and over again. BGH in milk, remember that came through for Bill Clinton? Mm-hmm. Genetically modified foods. And you want to talk about some real hypocrisy? The Obamas, one of Michelle Obama's big crusades is to eat healthy foods. And the same thing, the Bush administration, too. They eat all organic. They eat all organic, and it's let the rest of us eat frankenfoods. That's what's going on over here. I mean, they could care less what we eat, what we have, or what we don't have, as long as they have what they want. So here's the level of hypocrisy. Major stories about Michelle Obama, all of the organic, all of the buy local, while the government keeps shoving the garbage down people's throats.
Absolutely, and that's why McDonald's is still doing well, because people are still eating at McDonald's like it has some kind of nutritional value. I mean, when they can literally decide what nutrients and minerals go into your body, that's going to affect your immunity. And in these crises, you get sick, you might not make it. You don't have the money to go see a doctor, the hospitals are overbooked, you don't have a house because you can't pay your mortgage. I mean, we could be in some really, really tough times in just a matter of months, not years. I thank you for the call. Let's jump to Leo in Massachusetts. Leo, what's on your mind?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Mr. Salenti, I've been thinking about this, and what we really need is a simple, like a 10-point manifesto of things to do and a 10-point manifesto of things not to do, geared to our demographics, be it city, suburb, or country, and our economic demographics. Do you have any, and could you get together with somebody like Bob Chapman and put it out together, or get a whole bunch of people to help us figure out a way to negotiate through this mess?
That's a wonderful idea. I think Bob Chapman's work is terrific, and a number of people out there admire their work. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Well, why don't you just give off like two or three of those things?
I'll give you one, for example, the kind of things we write about in the Trends Journal. Mm-hmm. Rip up those lawns that you have out there that are growing grass that, that chemically intensified to grow this green stuff that you can't eat or smoke. It's totally useless. Start planting victory gardens for the 21st century. People ask me, what do? I don't eat corporate food. I'm Italian. I know what good food is. I don't eat that garbage. These are the kind of things. I don't buy anything made out of the country that I don't have to. I support local. So it's these kind of things, and I speak out, and I don't, if somebody does, I was at a gathering, and somebody said to me, my, Mr. Salenti, aren't you opinionated? I said, what, because I won't drink your Kool-Aid? I'm opinionated? I don't buy your line of garbage? That makes me opinionated? So people have to regain their dignity. There are a lot of things people could do, and I think that's an excellent suggestion, and I'm going to contact Bob.
Wow, well, thank you so much for the call, Leo. That's just great. And, I think one of the things that you're really touching on is that we've lost our humanity, in a sense. We can't communicate with each other. We're so reserved in a social situation where people are going to disagree with you because they're just watching the mainstream media. They're seeing what's on the front of the pager. They're literally bowing down to their corporate gods. And when you try to say to them, no, this is rigged, they're blowing this out on purpose, they want to really destabilize the country, they want to bring you into a second world status, they don't, like you said, they want to act childlike, they don't want to believe it, they don't want to take the time to even take a look at your information. And I think that's why it's so important that we put together these, 90 minute to 2 hour movies like the Obama deception, because that is one of the few things you can get somebody to do, is sit down and watch a film. And I just want to thank you so much for being in that film and being so well-spoken in it. We do have to get you in advanced copy because we don't have copies yet. It's just on the web. But you do an excellent job in that, and we've just gotten rave reviews on it. Well, why don't you speak to that? I mean, Why is it? Why are so people so scared, so reserved about what other people think? I don't get it.
Because we become a soccer mom society. I mean, you know, it's disgusting what's going on. I mean, children have been elevated to genius level. You know, they're when they're little kids, they're special, and then they get older, they're amazing. You know, and it's become, as I said, a soccer mom society. People don't have the dignity or respect to think for themselves. You know, you could I speak all over the world, and I do a PowerPoint, and tracking trends is a way of understanding where we are, seeing how we got here, and then to anticipate where we're going. And I go back, I do a lot with music, and I show, for instance, Duke Ellington, and there he is looking really fine in his PowerPoint, play a couple of verses from his great songs. And then I show Snoop Doggy with letters, you know, getting arrested, you know. And then I show Ella Fitzgerald, and then I show Britney Spears, you know, and on and on and on. We're a devolving society. When fashion statement becomes an element that rises the lowest common denominator, criminals that they don't give belts or shoelaces to because they're so violent, and that becomes the fashion statement, that tells you where the nation is going. So then when you look at why we're in these problems, look at the morality and virtues. There aren't any. We're fighting wars for fake reasons. I don't care who supports what they believe. The fact of the matter is, we were told that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction and ties to Al-Qaeda. Period, paragraph. Whether or not they knew it, it's inconsequential. The fact is, it's a proven lie. And we're still killing innocent people. Now we, the country, I have nothing to do with that. They're robbing us blind in broad daylight. They're stealing our money to give it to the too big to fails. I could say, Jason, with full authority, that their mother's not better than mine. They're not too big to fail. Just like I'm not, what, am I too small to save? I would dare any of these clowns to come to me face to face and tell me that. It's only the white shoe boys, the spoiled crowd from the Yales and the Princetons and the Harvards. That's why you go to those schools, so you get the inside deals. Look what went on. Citigroup, you know, they hardly made the news. When this guy announced that they were going to make a profit, like big deal, you know, they're making a profit, they get all this money. But the insiders went out and bought stock, you know, and on the memo. I mean, how could this be allowed? How could it be permitted? But boy, if you have three glasses of wine and they stop you at a checkpoint, boy, they'll throw handcuffs on you, they'll throw you against the car, and they'll drag you off to jail. This isn't a democracy, it's a plutocracy.
I got to agree with you there again. Let's go to Jason in New Hampshire. Jason, what's on your mind?
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I was just wondering now. I'm kind of in... You're familiar with upstate New York, right?
Yep.
Austining?
No, upstate New York.
Utica.
Oh, upstate.
Yeah, yeah,
I know Utica. Yeah, yeah, it's very depressed area.
Oh, it sure is. Utica Club beer.
Well, thank you. I needed that, but yeah. I'm just wondering, you know, when things are this depressed, how is this economic, at what point will it really start to hit?
Well, it's going to hit. It's hitting already, and we think it's really going to hit hard this summer. Look at the 10 cities that are sprouting up all over the country. You know, if you don't know by my attitude, you know, I'm a Bronx guy originally, and my saying is that when people lose everything and they have nothing left to lose, they lose it. And you're going to start seeing a lot of people losing. It's even going to be to the, you know, off with their heads. And what we're going to see this summer, we're forecasting in the Trends Journal, is you're going to start seeing riots on the streets. It's going to make the summers of the 60s look like, you know, like they were roasting marshmallows. Because things are going to explode big time.
Yeah, go ahead, caller.
Okay. Okay, now I'm going to digress a bit. Now back in the 90s, this community was pretty tight. They, you know, from the immigrants from the 40s and 30s, basically built this whole community.
Mm-hmm.
And in the 90s, they started to, there was this influx of Slavic people that they were bringing in, and they were giving homes to, and it was just this giveaway, and people in the community resented what was going on, and I mean, these people were given homes, they were just...
Well, there's no doubt that they gave these loans in order to take the homes back eventually after they robbed, you know, lower middle class and poor people. I mean, that was the idea anyway. All right, we're going to come back with the final segment with Gerald Celente. It's the InfoWarrior, PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. Final segment with Gerald Celente, the Trends Research Institute. And Mr. Celente, why don't you tell people how they can get a hold of your information?
Yeah, they could go to our website, Jason, which is trendsresearch.com. That's trendsresearch.com. And to check out our Trends Journal, and there's also a sample issue up there from the 2008 top trends that we had predicted. Among them, of course, was in 2007, we said that in 2008 we were going to see the panic of 08. And in 2009, we're going to see the collapse of 09 and the early stages of the Greatest Depression. And you can see it again at our website, which is trendsresearch.com.
Well, you know, on that note, what do you think we're going to see in the next, you know, I know that you're a further forecaster, but in the next 1 to 2 months, I mean, where is it going? Are we going to lose just a massive amount of more jobs? Are they going to start offering a lot more state jobs? Are we actually going to see the troops on the street that Obama's talking about? Are we going to see the formation of this civilian security force to complement, you know, our military? What do you think in the next 1 to 2 months we'll be able to actually visually see in our mainstream media?
You know, it's hard. You know, there's so much manipulation going on. For example, this latest boost in the stock market.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's no reason for it at all. Today it went up. Yesterday it went up on the good news that they lowered General Electric's rating. You know, I mean, you know, one thing after another. And so the manipulation is so deep, and it's very, very difficult to know what they're going to do next. However, having said that, we're confident by the summertime, people won't be able to deny what's going on. It's going to be flying in their face. And to think that, you know, the news can change the confidence level of reality is really childish. Because as I mentioned, this is a global meltdown. You're looking across the world. You're looking at export numbers dropping. As I said, China dropping 25%. People think that China's going to, you know, rule almighty. Forget about it. You know, they in last year, in 2008, they had 120,000 riots and strikes. They're not going to be able to control the situation. And, by the way, you know, we just found out that the United States shot down an Iranian drone over Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
And now there's talk, and it keeps going on, that Israel might, you know, take out the Iranian nuclear power plant. We are forecasting that if either the United States or Israel attacks Iran, it's going to spark World War III.
Wow. Well,
so
we hope that doesn't
happen.
Those
are the kind of things, you know, something like this happens and the whole mix changes. All of a sudden there's an oil embargo. So you can't predict the wild cards. But over the long term, again, by the summer and then by Christmas 2009, if you thought Christmas 2008 was going to be bad, it's going to turn really rotten. And we're going to start seeing more and more commercial real estate collapses, and there's not enough money being printed. It's impossible to bail out the commercial sector. So it's only a matter of time. 1 month, 2 months, 5 months. By this time next year, everybody will know it.
They've indicted Bernie Madoff. They're not letting him out. But a lot of the lawyers that are charging in the case say that they need a new global banking court to try him from his crimes. Do you think that, that's what ultimately this is all about, bringing in a new court system run by the bankers to go after the small guys? I know a few of the smaller banks that got the TARP money gave it back because they didn't want all of those restrictions. Just really quickly, go ahead.
Well, it's really hard to say. I mean, and if anything does happen, it'll be a charade.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Gerald Celente. The Trends Research Institute, one of the most compelling guests we have on the program here over at InfoWars and PrisonPlanet.tv. We'll have Joseph Skelton in the top of the next hour, CremationOfCare.com. The Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and we are now joined with the creator of CremationOfCare.com and webmaster, Joseph Skelton. Joseph, how are you? Do we have Joseph? Or do we not have Joseph yet? I guess we don't have Joseph. We got some kind of a beep. Joseph, is that you?
That's me.
All right. Excellent. Excellent, my man. So why don't you just tell people about yourself? I've been a fan of the site for quite some time, and it really is one of the better sites to keep up, you know, on the globalist agenda in general.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, for starters. Yeah, it's something that's been going for about 4 years now. I bumped into Paul Joseph Watson about the time when I was starting the website, and it just gave me a few ideas. And I started out with a load of material on Bohemian Grove, hence the name CremationOfCare.com. I thought it'd be something that'd stick well. And I just basically started putting news reports on there every day, and it just picked up. I think if you do that, if you have a website and you update it every day and you put a lot into it, it'll get a lot of traffic, and that's just basically a good way of keeping people informed on what's going on.
Exactly, and your website has lasted for over 5 years. It really has a basic format, so it's really about the material. What is it that sparked your interest in this type of material? How did you wake up to, you know, this globalist agenda for a new world order?
I think it was just before 9/11, to be honest. I know there was a lot of talk, and at the time I remember, like, you know, the phrase conspiracy theory gets used, and I remember somebody first telling me about, you know, the Princess Diana thing, and, you know, that she'd actually been murdered and that it wasn't an accident. And at the time I actually laughed, and I was like, oh, that's ridiculous kind of thing. But I started to look into it, and then started reading a few books, and I think I saw Alex Jones on TV talking about Bohemian Grove when Channel 4 over here in the UK had helped him infiltrate the Bohemian Grove, and I was like, wow, this is like, there's something to this, you know. And 9/11 obviously happened, and somebody that I know within the first couple of weeks after 9/11 told me about Operation Northwoods, which I know your audience will know a lot about that, and how it kind of ties in with false flag terrorism, and it just blew me away, and kind of I took it from there, really.
Yeah, you know, Northwoods was one of those documents that I was just like, no way. You know, I didn't wake up really to this whole agenda until after 9/11, and it's funny that you mentioned in 2000 you saw Jones on television, because that's when he went into the Bohemian Grove, and I think it was the Trio Network that actually aired that. John Ronson, who helped him infiltrate, actually ended up making a whole career out of this, writing a book about the little miniseries he did with David Icke, with Alex Jones, Jim Tucker, and others. And then he writes this book. All of a sudden, he's this media personality. He writes The Men Who Stare at Goats. He did Crazy Rulers of the World. And that's actually a pretty interesting documentary series. He kind of owns up to the fact that they want this world government, this new world order. I mean, you can watch the CNN International clip, but he kind of plays it off like, you know, it's a good thing. You know, why do you think this isn't a good thing? You know, obviously you've done the research. Why isn't the idea of a new world order a good thing?
Well, I mean, I've studied fascism. I mean, even at the most basic level, I remember when I was at secondary school, we had a pretty good history teacher, and he told us about the roots of fascism and how corruption, invades even the most basic politics. And once you know that, it's not really that great of a leap to see that what's going on isn't a good thing. You know, it's judge the tree by its fruits, really, and that's what we do.
All right, we'll come back after this with Joseph Skelton. We're going to be talking Obama deception. The website's cremationofcare.com, and we're streaming live right now at prisonplanet.tv.
About the crime, no one looks behind the curtain, and no one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end.
And we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, 9 to 12 Central Time. I know it's late night, kiddies. Monday through Friday. Remember, you can get the podcast over at theinfowarrior.com. We're with Joseph Skelton of cremationofcare.com. And before we go into some of the featured stories over at your site right now, you know, you've always been a big supporter of Alex, what he does, the Patriot Movement in general. And you got a chance over the past couple days to watch the Obama deception. Why don't you give us your take on it?
I mean, he's basically put into it in just short of 2 hours. Some of the key information, most of the key information that I think is needed, because unfortunately, the mainstream press tends not to focus on a lot of the negative stuff. You know, they're acting like, you know, he's our savior, obviously. Well, your savior in America. And I think a lot of the points that he puts across are very valid. And he also puts it into a historical context as well, which is important, because obviously it's one of those cliches, those who don't know history are doomed to repeat it. So, I mean, you could pretty much cover anything that he talks about in the film. I mean, little things like when the press got put onto the plane to Chicago, obviously there was supposed to be a conference going on, and at the time what actually had happened is that Obama was having a secret meeting with Hillary Clinton, and the press were put onto the plane that went to Chicago, obviously without Obama, so that was a dirty trick that they played, and that's covered in the film.
Yeah, the way that they actually snuck off to the Bilderberg meeting. And, you know, a lot of people say, oh, that was just a secret meeting with him and Clinton. Well, they lied about it the first time, said it was Clinton's home. It wasn't at Clinton's home. Then they lied about it again and said it was at Dianne Feinstein's home. But if you look at what his now press secretary says, he says that, well, he had to meet with several people. He had to do so in private. And it's just such a coincidence that they're in Chantilly, Virginia, while David Rockefeller, Kissinger, Bernanke, and the whole gang from the Bilderberg group is there. I mean, it's such a thinly veiled lie that I think they do actually a really great job in the film of showing how thinly veiled it is. I also think they do a great job in the film of really showing his rhetoric of, yeah, we're going to get out of the war, we're going to get out of the Middle East, and anything could be further from the truth. I mean, they're going to redistribute forces into Afghanistan. They're openly saying that they're going to leave forces in Iraq until the end of 2011, but they're really not getting them out of there either, since they're planning on having 50,000 at least at the end of 2011 when we have the beginning of an election year. I just hope that people wake up to the fact that this guy is a puppet, and we don't have, you know, 8 years of some slick talker like we did Clinton, because I was mostly asleep during the Clinton years. You know, we weren't at war. The economy was booming. You know, I had no idea about this agenda. It's not until you took a second look back at what happened, you know, things like Waco, Oklahoma City, the first World Trade Center, and you realize that that is state-sponsored, do you really go, whoa, you know, it could have been just as bad under Clinton if these guys really got away with what they wanted to. So I hope people wake up, but I just don't see it. And, you know, I'm not really that, versed in politics over, you know, overseas where you are. But I didn't realize until today, a couple people called me out because I'd been, you know, talking about Gordon Brown and his Global New Deal and the fact he came out to Congress and spoke before them. But Gordon Brown didn't even have to run for the position of UK's prime minister. He just succeeded Tony Blair when he resigned. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't essentially elected in the traditional sense. He just basically, the baton was passed to him. Not that it really matters in this country, because, I mean, even the opposition pretty much sings from the same song sheet anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's one of those sort of classic scenarios like you have over there. I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, you've got Obama, who, like you said, indeed is a slick talker. And a lot of the same policies that you saw with Bush are just continuing, basically. I know that we're going to see, well, we are seeing the continuance of secret rendition, which obviously you and me would call torture. That's something that is documented, but that's something, that, again, that you can put in the face of the Obama files, you know, the people that support him and worship him. If you tell them, well, this is what's actually going on under his watch, they can't deny that if you've got it documented. So, I mean, that's something that's good about Alex's new film.
Yeah, they're trying to put out a little bit more spin from the Obama administration today. We know that those renditions are still going on. He said he's going to close Guantanamo Bay, but that's not going to be until a later date. Well, now they're saying that the inmates at Guantanamo Bay are no longer enemy combatants, but they're not designating them anything else. So they're basically holding them under the same assumption that they would under someone who was a quote-unquote enemy combatant, a rather broad term anyway, but the headline reads, U.S. Guantanamo inmates, no more enemy combatants. I mean, it's ridiculous. Whether they're called inmates or enemy combatants, they're still being tortured, you know, by tyrannical governments. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, how long did they have to torture, you know, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, if he's even alive, and these five other guys that supposedly just admitted to 9/11? And are we ever going to see an actual trial? No, we're lucky to even see transcripts that have been vetted, if they're real at all. I mean, we literally are living in like this 1984 scenario where we're just totally enthralled with our iPhone apps and, you know, WWE wrestling. I mean, it sickens me. It really just sickens me. So do you see us us as a human race waking up out of this and fighting?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, people are waking up. It's getting a lot easier to talk about these things now than it was a few years ago. I think I was just out with a guy tonight, a guy called John, and we were just having this conversation that a lot of the mainstream media is pretty much being overtaken now, especially on the internet, by alternative press. I mean, obviously, that's what we're doing tonight with this whole thing. And, I mean, if you just look at Alex's show compared to what it used to be, you know, how the audience has grown and how the format has obviously changed. It's very impressive now. It's a lot slicker and everything like that, and a lot of other people are doing that too. So, I mean, as long as the movement keeps growing like this, I think that we're going to, wake up a lot more people, and it's a snowball effect from there.
What are some of the top stories over your website right now, cremationofcare.com?
To be honest, there aren't any, because I haven't updated it for a while, because we're having a bit of an overhaul.
Mm-hmm.
I know that we're having a bit of a technical problem at my end for the past couple of months, and it's been a bit of a pain, but we've got this new format up and running, and hopefully in the next few days we're going to have some good stories. But I've mostly been posting things sort of anonymously on other websites, and just, you know, videos of random things that I've picked up here and there, police brutality, that kind of stuff, just to show people what's really going on, you know, behind all the front page news that they throw at you, which is usually to do with celebrities and all that kind of gossip. You know, we need to kind of red flag the real stories and put them out there.
I absolutely agree. And one of the stories we covered last week was the fact that in the UK they're actually categorizing protesters, people that go to these rallies or whatever, under, you know, without any criminal charges. They're taking film of their cars, they're taking down their license plate number, they're surveilling them, they're putting into criminal databases, but they're not criminals, you know, for, you know, future reference, to have these faces on there for the face scanning cameras. And the police state that really, out of every, you know, modernized, you know, place, it seems like the UK, London, is the most police state-esque area. I mean, with all the cameras you have there, it is unbelievable. I mean, New York City's bad, But I think you guys take the cake with something like, you know, the average person in London passes a camera 300 times a day.
If that, I mean, I'd probably say it's more, but yeah, I mean, London really is, it's the model for the rest of the country. I mean, I'm quite lucky. I live up north in a kind of a smaller town, but even up here we have these CCTV units driving past. Obviously, there's a lot of, you know, pubs and stuff. There's a lot of people getting drunk, but it's not that bad. There's a lot of theft, but we still have a lot of cameras in the streets. They, you know, the councils claim we don't have enough money for this. You know, if it snows, they haven't got enough money to grit the paths, you know. But, you know, if they want to put the cameras up, that's no problem. You know, they'll put them on every corner. You know, they've got the money for that.
You know, it seems like also in your mainstream papers, it's more acceptable to use the term, quote-unquote, New World Order. I mean, we have that really big famous, you know, we need a New World Order to save the Earth from Gordon Brown. He talked about it in front of the CBI before he became the UK Prime Minister. I mean, is it that just people over there aren't quite hip to, you know, what the term actually means? Are they more open to globalism? What do you think it is?
I think, yeah, I mean, the term globalism is pretty much something that's been kind of adopted by, you know, what you'd call the left wing. Not that I see things in terms of left versus right, because obviously it's part of the same system, but globalism is definitely something that the left has picked up on in recent years. I think the term New World Order, people are aware of it, but they don't quite understand it, because when you see it in the mainstream press, it's usually they spin it. And you get people like Gordon Brown, he's used the phrase God knows how many times, and but it's always, it's a good thing, you know. Embrace the New World Order. It's something that we're going to bring about for change, you know. It's like Obama uses the word change kind of in a miscellaneous sense, and people get all kind of aspirational about it because they've got their interpretation of what it means. And it's the same with New World Order. I mean, a lot of the time it's linked in with the phrase conspiracy theory. By design, but yeah, it's just one of those phrases that kind of varies from person to person as to what it means.
Exactly, and I think that's what we really need to break down, is that this is really an elitist term, you know, a political term for what they're trying to achieve. And, you know, that's why the project I'm working on now, Invisible Empire, really goes through people like, you know, Gordon Brown, Tony Blair, Bush 1, Bill Clinton, Jesse Jackson, all these separate people, Walter Cronkite, all these separate people supposedly coming at it from separate perspectives, using the same term with the same ideas. We've got Joseph Skelton. It's the Info Warrior. We're going to be taking your calls in about 10 or 15 minutes. Come on back. PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Paranoia strikes deep into your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. Better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going now. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody,
all right, folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and we're going to take your calls beginning in the next segment. And if you want to call in on some of the esoteric stuff and some of the Bohemian Grove stuff and then the occult stuff, that's great with this guest. Just try not to ravage me too hard like you guys did last night, because I'm not an open, devout Christian. God, man, I just got such flack yesterday. Oh, my God. Oh, you're high. You're covering up Ron Paul being a Jesuit. You're terrible, Burmis. Who do you worship? Oh, my God, I can't take it. So you got a pointed, intelligent question for myself or Joseph. We'll be taking your calls in the next half an hour. But again, let's not try to make it, you know, a religious diatribe. Please, I'm begging you. Please, let's make it for good radio. You know, I often find that, you know, people, I don't know about you, but they want to just extract one group. Oh, it's the Vatican that's behind everything. Oh, it's the Jesuits that are behind everything. You know, the racists love to say, oh, it's the Jews that are behind everything. When in fact, this is really an international intelligence organization run by bankers and elitists at the top. I mean, there isn't just one group that makes the decisions. That's why they get together at things like the Bilderberg Group. That's why they get together in larger masses at the Bohemian Grove Club. Why don't you speak to that and all these little secret societies that they have?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think one of the things in the movement is divide and conquer, you know. I mean, that's why you get a lot of this kind of thrown in about Zionists and Jesuits and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a lot of it does go on, but at the end of the day, I mean, we're all kind of... it's either freedom versus fascism, I suppose, isn't it? But, mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I think one of the main problems that we've got is... kind of understanding the scale that this goes on. I mean, yeah, a few people do run the world, but there's a lot of different groups. And obviously, if you go to something like the Bilderberg, one of the things that's been uncovered is that there is a lot of infighting in amongst the you know, the ranks, as you'd say, in the Bilderberg group. This is something that we've had over the last few years that we've noticed, especially that there's a lot of people kind of rebelling against the main agenda because it seems that they're kind of pulling in different directions, and that's something that you know, Jim Tucker's talked about, and especially in the past few years, as more and more interest is getting out there, a lot of this information is being confirmed more and more that they can't seem to agree, you know.
Yeah, I mean, well, you look at it, and it's kind of like you have these crime cartel families, you know. Everybody at the top of these families are making money. They have a lot of infrastructure. They have a lot of power. And then they delegate to their, you know, their underlings, their captains, or really people within their family. It's usually their sons, their daughters, their nephews, their nieces. And they're kind of do the ground and legwork. And they're always trying to cut each other out of the deal. But at the same time, if anybody threatens the overall, you know, families, the bosses, then they all come together. You know, they don't want to lose their central power. And that's why, you know, with my research, I look at a family like, you know, the Rothschild family. I look at a family like the Rockefeller family, and they really seem to be at the top of the pyramid. I mean, David Rockefeller has attended the majority of these Bilderberg meetings in the last 30, 40 years, if not all of them. You know, you look at the Bohemian Grove Club, and this is just, I mean, you're bringing in Helmut Schmidt from Germany. You know, you have Queen Beatrix going to the Bilderberg group. Obviously, it looks like, you know, the royalty never left from power. I mean, you look at, you know, your country, and the royal family is supposed to be, you know, this fun, you know, tabloid thing. But in reality, Obama's going to go meet with the Queen prior to the G20 summit to find out really what the royal elite over there want. I mean, that's what that is. She's basically going to tell him what to talk about and, you know, where they want to go. He's nothing but a puppet. You know, this is a guy who was a state senator until 2004, magically gives the keynote address at the Democratic National Convention, becomes a senator for the first time in 2004, serves half of his term, doesn't even come close to serving his six-year term, and he announces his presidency, magically wins, and he's on the cover of the Spider-Man comic, and Pepsi has to change their logo to more fit the Obama logo. I mean, this screams of brainwashing, Joseph.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think the reason they put him in a comic book is because he's a mythical character. I mean, that's obviously goes with the territory, but I mean, a lot of people have asked me, you know, what do you think of Obama? And I'll just basically sum it up by saying he's just a puppet of the military-industrial complex and Wall Street, basically. You can put it that simple.
All right, we'll be back after this. I want to cover the MIAC document. If Joseph hasn't seen it, if he has, we're going to go over it. I mean, this document is just over the top, and they're handing out to police across the country. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. We are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and we're with Joseph Skelton. Joseph, have you seen this MIAC document where it basically says if you're a Ron Paul supporter, if you're for Campaign for Liberty, if you believe in the Constitution, that you're involved with the militia movement and you are a terrorist? Have you seen these?
Justin, to be honest.
No, it's brand new. Okay, we just got these in probably less than a week ago, 2 days ago, 3 days, Rob's telling me. And I was in here the other night, and Jones comes in with this document. I'm like, there's no way this could be real. And he shows me the cop's card that sent it to us. I believe it was the sheriff. He's going to come on now. And this is an unclassified report, but it lists things like, you know, the Olympic bombing. Oh, that was done by militias. They tried to pin it on a guy, and it didn't happen to be him at all. You know, they go to Waco, they go to Ruby Ridge, and they basically say all these cops are going to be shot. So you have to approach these people with a certain kind of bumper stickers, most of them American flag bumper stickers, with all sorts of caution. It is just unbelievable to me. And then it lists that you can't talk about, the Federal Reserve, the IRS, the CIA, the NSA, the FBI, or quote-unquote the New World Order that didn't exist up until now, but now it exists in a derogatory fashion. They also try to single out people that carry around a pocket constitution or speak about RFID chips. You know, all these things that are real right out in the open, and they're warning the police. And they also say it's not just a police program, that it's basically amalgamated by Homeland Security, other public and private organizations, and this is spread throughout the country. So when I saw this document, I was just scared to death, because Ron Paul, I mean, this is the one guy that got up there, tried to genuinely change the country, you know, warn people about the coming financial collapse that did happen, and now if you have a Ron Paul 08 bumper sticker, you know, the cops might be right out of the car with their guns drawn. This is insanity to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's right in line with the agenda. I mean, to you and me, it seems pretty mental, but it's not the first time we've seen something like this, and it's not going to be the last, I don't think.
No, I think it's going to get a lot worse. It just caught me by surprise that this was a declassified document that was confirmed on several ends, and then we still have people on the message boards saying, no, this isn't true, this is all made up, you don't understand. We gave phone numbers out yesterday so that people could call and fax them, and still it's all fake. Call them and find out for yourself. We had several people do it. All right, let's go to our callers. Let's go to Mark in Wisconsin. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hi, what's going on? I actually just wanted to talk about that MIAC document. I called the numbers, actually a number of them. What happened was, first they called the 751-6422 number. That's what you and Alex gave out the other day on your show. I spoke with a woman who directed me to a different number, which was area code 573-526-6115, and I tried calling that, and it was busy. So I then called the toll-free number you guys gave out, and I spoke with somebody who actually sounded like an officer. You know, they just kind of have that, you know, tone of voice. You can just kind of tell. I don't know if he was, but he definitely, you know, he was definitely putting that on, as if, you know, he was in that position. Let's see, I told him, you know, the other number was busy, and he was like, oh, it's been busy for 2 days, you know, and we have no idea how to solve that. I'm sorry. And I was like, well, you know, the reason I was calling is because I'm a concerned citizen. I explained that, you know, we know about the MIAC strategic report from 2-20-09 and that it contains training information for law enforcement stating that if you have different versions of the American flag, or if you're an open Ron Paul supporter or a libertarian, or if you have a Get Us Out of the UN sticker, you're, you know, you could be a suspected terrorist or part of a dangerous militia movement. And he claimed the document did not say these things. Ooh. I'm not making this up, Bermis. He claimed that the document did not say these things, then suggested I read it for myself and make up my own mind on, you know, what its contents was. And then he asked if I was, going from the document myself or if I was getting my information from Alex Jones's report on
so
the
a lot
document.
Of people had called. A lot of people. Right. Well, you know what? That's very positive. Thank you for the call, Mark. I mean, that's very positive that they actually knew that it was us making the difference. Look, we published the whole document. I read right off the document. I mean, it's up on prisonplanet.tv right now. I didn't take anything out of context. They don't use the term terrorist, but I mean, they make it so any of these things are subversive. They demonize the militia movement. Then they tell you that we're suspects, again, if we're for the Constitution, for Campaign for Liberty. Campaign for Liberty was set up by Ron Paul in order to have a government for and by the people again, you know, to get local people involved in their city council, you know, to become a mayor, to become a congressman for their district, to maybe be a state senator. I mean, a real grassroots organization to take this country back. It's just unbelievable to me. All right, let's go to Edward in New Hampshire. Edward, what's on your mind?
Hey, wow, this is the more hardcore broadcast tonight. Love it.
All right.
Joseph in England. I mean, I feel bad for you guys, man. I mean, I've been to England. I love the people there. Great people there, and I feel bad you guys are living this socialist nightmare right now. And, of course, we're all going into that nightmare right now, unfortunately, as the global elite just kind of tighten the noose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, actually, I was calling on a different topic, but now that you bring up the MIAC, it's kind of funny. I called one of my buddies tonight who's supposedly woken up and stuff, and I talked about him. That he's like, well, you know, that's why I don't put a Ron Paul sticker on my car. And, you know, one thing I just want to say, man, too, I mean, and obviously you guys don't need to hear this, but, I mean, all the listeners out there, man, now is not a time to be timid. Now is not a time to go back into the shadows and retreat. Now is the time to declare yourself and declare that we want this country back. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Now is the time to stand up. And, you know, we announced yesterday after a caller really is like, well, we really need to have a big day. We have to have a big movement. Well, I'm calling for July 4th this year to be the InfoWarrior Independence Day and all the different groups out there, whether it be the End the Fed group or, you know, 911truth.org or Truth Action or Lone Lantern or We Are Change, to get a bunch of DVDs, get a bunch of flyers together, and make July 4th this year, you know, InfoWarrior Independence Day. Let's make a bunch of copies of America Freedom to Fascism, one of the movies that they actually put in this document, Joseph. They put America Freedom to Fascism in this document along with Zeitgeist instead of you had this right next to a Nazi book, by the way. You know, a Nazi book that does encourage the killing of police officers as subversive material. I mean, America Freedom to Fascism just basically outlines how the Federal Reserve is private, how it's a criminal organization, how the IRS is a criminal organization, how they're trying to build a North American Union. And, oh, if you didn't know, they want to chip the population. You've obviously seen Freedom to Fascism, correct, Joseph?
Yeah, I've seen it a few times. It's quite a popular one over here, but... yeah, I mean, what you saw in the document is basically guilt by association. It's quite an easy technique. It's a very manipulative one. You know, they'll put to that kind of literature, like Freedom to Fascism, next to something that is quite sinister. And to people that don't know any better, they'll just associate the two in their mind. You know, I get a lot of people that know that because, obviously, I've got views that are kind of out of the mainstream. They kind of, like, think, what, are you some kind of extremist or something? Especially in this country, in the UK, it's something where if you have, you know, views that aren't either Labour or Conservative, you must be an extremist.
That's crazy to me. I mean, obviously, our country isn't as well-versed in your politics and vice versa. How long is Gordon Brown going to be in power right now?
A lot of people have said that it's not going to be for too long. I mean, obviously, David Cameron's been fairly well-groomed for the position. You never really know these things. I can't picture it being too long before Cameron comes in.
Really? And Cameron is another Bilderberger, and what, he recently lost a son or something like that?
Not too sure about that, but I know he's, you know, a part of this network, and a lot of people have basically said that him and Tony Blair is basically two cheeks on the same backside. You know, it's not a very nice term to use, but it's quite an accurate one.
Where is Blair right now? I mean, he's kind of fallen into the backdrop over here in the media. What is he up to?
Yeah, you don't really see him that much anymore. He's kind of taken a bit of a backseat, obviously. But I think he's going to kind of reemerge, you know, at some point. And I don't think we've seen the last of him. Let's just put it that way.
What's your take on this carbon credit situation? I mean, right now, I mean, there's a huge push, it seems, globally. You know, we had Obama get up in his fake State of the Union saying, you know, we've fallen behind China in our ecosystem, and they're the ones that are cutting the most carbon, and we have to model ourselves after that. I mean, are we seeing, I mean, at least in your country, the BBC played the great global warming swindle. I mean, are people over there just as brainwashed by this climate change myth, or are they a little more awake?
You do get them, and unfortunately, it does tend to be a lot of people that you would think would know better, because, I mean, a lot of the people that know a lot of the scams, you know, what's been dubbed problem, reaction, solution in the truth movement, obviously the great global warming swindle as a whole is a big part of this, and people, like I said, they should know better, tend to fall for the propaganda, and it's really kind of difficult to get it across to them. It's the same with peak oil. That's another one that people just can't seem to understand.
Well, is it promoted over there? Because over here, it feels like, for peak oil anyway, is like, it's this underground leftist thing. They talk about peak oil, and people actually buy into it, thinking that, you know, they're hip to something other people aren't. Meanwhile, we have Lindsay Williams, who has given this show and others like it nothing but correct information, who has told us years ago that peak oil was a scam by the people who control it to really not only charge more, but control more. Act like there wasn't a lot. Oh, now we're going to have to charge $4 or $5 for gas. And really say, we have to go to these greener solutions because oil isn't going to be here forever. Meanwhile, these guys have reserves in Alaska and all over the world that we'd have oil for hundreds, if not thousands of years. But they're like, oh, 20 or 30 years, we won't have any oil left. And people seem to fall for that. I mean, you don't see it all over the mainline here, but, you know, you talk to somebody who's a quote-unquote Democrat or a liberal, and they'll bring that up, and you just it makes me want to vomit in my mouth.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, one of the things I've noticed over here is that it's a kind of a trendy thing, you know, to be into climate change and all that kind of stuff. We've got all these eco-warriors in the schools and you know, places like that, and they're trying to push the policies that have been sort of cast down upon them. But having said that, at the same time, if you're kind of of an opposing view to that, you don't tend to get a lot of disrespect because there's room on both sides, I think, in the debate.
Gotcha. I mean, it is this hipster mentality. I mean, people love to jump on a bandwagon. I mean, that's just human nature. So, you know, they see Al Gore's movie and they're just like, oh, this is terrible. We need to save the earth. And then all of a sudden on TV, everything's going green. And, you know, you have to recycle. And if you don't recycle, you know, we're going to kill Mother Earth. And if we don't do something about the carbon emissions, oh, global warming is going to take over and the ice caps are going to melt. And we're not going to have California and New York anymore. I mean, the hysteria is massive. And you look at this huge media apparatus they use to shove it down our throat. And you wonder, are we ever going to be able to take control of this media apparatus or build a media apparatus that actually challenges it? I mean, obviously we're trying to do that with Prison Planet and Infowars.com, and we've been somewhat successful. But when are we going to say, you know what, we need a full-fledged network?
It's definitely something that's needed. I mean, the only good news that I can really kind of throw out is the fact that the movement is growing and the alternative media is growing. And if it just continues to go that way, obviously you do the math, it's going to at some point take over. But it's just the case of we need to keep on top of it and we need to keep the faith and not be put off by things like these documents we're talking about with the demonization of the Patriot movement. That's no reason to, you know, knuckle under and crawl. It's more of a reason to fight the good fight, you know.
I totally agree. We have to redouble our efforts. And when are we going to see you doing some video YouTube blogs or maybe a one-hour weekly show or something like that? Because I feel like you have a great voice. Like I said, I love going to the website. I hadn't been there in a while, but to see that you're back in there, it says as of the 20th, and it's a little bit revamped. It still has a similar look that it did. When are you going to get on the YouTube, man?
Pretty much as soon as we get a team going down here. I know that basically the way it works is I'm up in the in the north of England, and I know down south there's a pretty good We Are Change movement down there, and they've had a lot of success with like radio shows and stuff like that. So we're just basically trying to emulate that up here as well.
And how can people support you, man? How can people get a hold of you and help you out?
Any way they choose, really. I mean, once I get the website up and running, there will be more of an activist section on there, and we'll try and get people to network up this end of the country and hopefully get the ball rolling again, because a few years ago we had quite a big movement. You know, we had a lot of events up here, but it's kind of died a death for the last few months, to be honest, and it's not going to take much to get it back, but we will do.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, the 9/11 truth movement right now, just because the mainstream media isn't talking about it as much, we've gotten further away. I feel like on the 10th anniversary or the run-up to the 10th anniversary, 9/11 truth is going to be huge yet again. But until then, we have to use other tools to wake people up. I mean, obviously, if you can catch somebody's ear about 9/11 that doesn't know about it and slip them a Loose Change Final Cut or a 9/11 Road to Tyranny or a Fabled Enemies, you know, that's a good, positive thing. But now with this financial crisis, you know, things like America Freedom to Fascism are almost a must. I mean, you sit somebody to America Freedom to Fascism for the first time who has no idea about this stuff, and they are just blown away. They're like, oh, my God, I had no idea. I didn't even know what the 16th Amendment was. You know, I didn't understand how the IRS was run. And they may be more apt to check things out. It's just like if I'm talking to somebody who is, you know, a devout Christian, I start talking about the Bohemian Grove and Skull and Bones, and I might give them a copy of Order of Death. It's all about different strokes for different folks. And I think the main thing is that we have to start communicating as human beings again. I mean, you put together a website, I do a blog, Alex, you know, gets out on the radio every day. We can all do something. You know, it doesn't have to be about the internet. You can make copies of films. You can talk about this at dinner. You can talk about it at family gatherings. You know, you can talk about it at the Thanksgiving or Christmas dinner table. You know, it's all about reaching out to the people that you supposedly care about, you know, your friends and your families. And, you know, when are we going to see that? Do you think with, I mean, I've seen it among the youth, but I think that older people are a little more hesitant because they feel like they're going to be judged.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm 27 now. I mean, I started doing a lot of this when I was about 17, so I think I've kind of seen a lot of it through, you know, as I've kind of grown older. But, yeah, I mean, a lot of sort of older people, like I said, they do tend to, like, they're going to be judged. People are going to see them as different, and they're afraid to speak out. I know that I've kind of, you know, paid a lot of prices myself for talking about these things. You know, people think you're a bit weird or whatever, but I think you keep talking about it and you eventually win out. People will respect you, and you'll find your place in it.
That's the truth. The more you speak and the more it comes true, the more credibility you gain. Final segment with Joseph Skelton of Cremation of Care. After this, it's the Info Warrior at PrisonPlanet.tv. Somebody who's been in the game for quite some time, Joseph Skelton. And it really is great to have young people like yourself on board. I mean, I'm not that much older than you, but I mean, we're around the same age and, you know, we're under 30 in this fight. And I really feel like our generation does not have much of a voice. I mean, when our voices are, you know, hip hop stars and actors and really people who have little to no political relevance whatsoever, we're in dire straits. So I just want to thank you for what you do. And why don't you just tell people how they can get involved? I mean, it's all about the will to do something and not being an armchair quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I think the main thing is just to pick a sort of the main area of the whole movement and kind of run with it. I mean, mine in more recent years has been 9/11. Obviously, that's something that a lot of people have been interested in, so it was easy to run with. You can, if you've got people that are speakers, you can do your own events. I mean, we've had a lot of people over here. We've had people coming over from the States. We had William Rodriguez, who I've met a few times, and we've done some talks with him. But if you don't have access to anything like speakers, you could either try to do something yourself, call into a lot of shows, just, you know, get your confidence up at talking about these things in public, and, you know, you'll find that you're suddenly good at it. If you don't really want to do that, you can always make copies of DVDs. That's something that a lot of people have been doing, and you know, they get around, and other people make copies of your copies, and it just kind of gets out there, and people, a lot more people are informed by watching these things. Just a little bit can go a long way. It's surprising how well that's true.
Final caller with Joseph Skelton of CremationOfCare.com. Peter, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
You got it.
I would like to know how I can reach my parents, who are quite older. They're actually in their early 60s, and they've experienced a lot themselves, you know, growing up, quite a number of, you know, social revolutions, I guess you could say, but I just don't
religious?
Know how to...
Are they religious?
Well, that's actually interesting. My father was raised to be Jewish. My mother was raised in a Christian family. Mm-hmm. They never made my sister or I have any kind of religious affiliation, which I do appreciate.
All right, so then that's...
So no, I guess no, they're not.
I would go with America Freedom to Fascism then, man. I mean, America Freedom to Fascism is very non-standoffish. Start with that film, see if you can get them to get through that, and then kind of work your way from there. I mean, Order of Death is good because it's, you know, this 90-minute film. Actually, I think it's only like 50 minutes. The recut of Bohemian Grove is a 90-minute film. But that one really is a great tool to wake up people who go to church every day and believe that, you know, George Bush worships Jesus Christ. You know, I come at it from different angles every different time. I mean, it depends on who I'm talking to. If I can pique somebody's interest with a little bit of 9/11 information, I'll give them that. You know, I spoke in front of my old college that I didn't even graduate from right before I came out to Texas, and I gave this lecture on how, you know, the government runs the drugs, both the cocaine and the marijuana in the 80s and the Iran-Contra scandal. And, you know, by the time I had got done showing mainstream news stuff from Connie Chung, from Peter Jennings, from Dan Rather, I had everybody's ears wide open and was able to hand out, you know, Loose Change Final Cut to everybody. So, you know, it's really about the will to get the information out there and share the truth with others. Joseph Skelton, thank you so much for staying up super late for us. It's cremationofcare.com. Come join us again soon, okay?
Thanks a lot. It's been fantastic.
All right, thank you so much. We'll be back after this with the Chuck Norris, Alex Jones interview, and then we'll take your calls in the second half of the last hour. It's the Info Warrior. That was Green Day with a great song off the Angus soundtrack. Many a great teenage year listening to that song, throwing a football around, being a kid, huh? Those were the days. But childhood is over, and it's time to act like an adult. It's time to grow up. It's time to talk about issues that really matter. And that's why I think it was awesome that Chuck Norris came on the show today and really gave a pro-freedom message. You know, Chuck Norris is really one of those guys that does have the country's best interests at heart, that is trying to look out for the little guy. He may not have all the information, but he has a lot more than he's letting on. And Chuck speaking out against the IRS, this criminal private organization that really is just like the capos, the real tough guy arm of this system. Oh, you don't want to pay your taxes? How about we take your house? Sounds good, huh? Or we could just garnish your wages. What do you think? Yeah? Or we'll take your car. That's good. We'll take your car. We'll freeze your bank account? All right, you still can't pay? We'll send you to prison. That's what we'll do. We're the IRS and we love you very much. Meanwhile, you know, the politicians and corporate criminals, they don't pay a federal income tax. It's a big joke to them. Federal income tax, not for me. That's for somebody else. That's for the little guy. That's not for, you know, Big Daddy Rockefeller. It's not for Tommy D. Daschle. It's not for Timmy Geithner. Timmy Geithner, oh my God. I mean, and this is the guy, well, I was the head of the Federal Reserve Board, and you know, as the head of the Federal Reserve Board, I was good with money, but I couldn't pay my taxes. And it just rolls on. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. They're looting the country. No big deal. Meanwhile, the IRS still stays in place. Well, thank God for Chuck Norris saying the IRS needs to go. More people need to really wake up to the fact that not only are we being taxed to death, but while we're being taxed to death, the upper echelon, the top, you know, 2 or 3% are just taking all this liquid cash and doing God knows with it. Another thing, you know, he talks about in this upcoming interview that Jones did today is the 17 trillion. Let's say it again. 17 trillion hidden in offshore bank accounts. I mean, can you even fathom that? The trillions? I mean, that's taking it to the top right there, taking it to a whole nother level. Trillions. I mean, what's next? I don't even know what comes after trillions. Does anybody know what comes after trillions out there? Can I get a nod? It's a big no. What is it? Quadrillions? Is it quadrillions? My God. Is that what's going to be next? The quadrillion bailout package. The one quadrillion. I mean, will it be ridiculous when it's no longer one quadrillion and it's like the $78 quadrillion package? I mean, all right, let's say just for a second, are we ready? Just for one little second that the $750 billion was real and it was just $750 billion. Do you realize there are 300 million people in this country? You could have easily given every single person $10,000. And you know how much that would have been? $3 billion. That's only $3 billion. Okay, so now you can give every single American citizen $100,000. Guess what that is? That's only $30 billion. See, folks, carry the zeros over. Okay, so $100,000 for every single man, woman, and child who's an American citizen. It's still only $30 billion. There's $720 billion left. We could all be millionaires. But that's not the game, my friends. Chuck Norris coming up with Alex Jones, and then we'll come back and take your calls. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
It is Friday the 13th. We have someone who needs no introduction, hundreds of movies, international top TV shows and syndication, best-selling author. Chuck Norris is on with us from his ranch in Texas. Going to be simulcasting a national program today, trying to rediscover the Bill of Rights, the Constitution. And thousands of groups around the country will be meeting in solidarity over their concerns for our nation, is the quote here from our guest. And I have a host of questions I wanted to ask him. But last time he was on, we didn't get into his nationwide group, kickstart.com, and we didn't spend a lot of time on black belt patriotism either. So, Chuck Norris, please get into that first for us, because it's important information, and I read the book, and I just agree with everything in it.
Well, first of all, you talked about Kickstart. Kickstart's a program where I teach the martial arts in the inner city middle schools. I started this 16 years ago with the support of former President Bush. And the thing is, being a martial art teacher for 15 years before I got into the film world, I taught thousands of young kids, and I was able to help them overcome a lot of insecurities that they had, whether it's emotional, physical, or psychological insecurities. And I said, well, this is great, but what about the millions of young kids in America whose families don't have the money to bring them to a commercial school like my school? How could we reach these youngsters? And that was, that's why I started Kickstart, is to implement it into the public schools as part of their PE program. And so that's what I've done. I've got 43 schools in the state of Texas, middle schools, and 150 kids in each school. So we have about 6,000 kids in the program. 60,000 kids have graduated from this program, Alex. Many of them going on to college and becoming successful in their own right. And they would tell you, if they were talking to you right now, Alex, they would say, if it wasn't for this Kickstart program, they would either probably be in prison or dead today. So the thing is that's what my mission in life is to reach as many young people and help get them on the right track of life as I possibly can. And so Kickstart means building strong moral character in our youth through the martial arts.
Because isn't most of martial arts, I mean, it's a mental thing, and it's about control and being honorable, isn't it? And this teaches them something they don't get from TV.
Yeah, the thing is, it turned my life around. I was pretty much an at-risk child, you know, growing up with just a mom and all the insecurities that I had because I didn't have a male role model to help me get on the right path of life. So I grew up very insecure and very shy and very non-athletic. A lot of people kind of laugh at that, but it's true. And the martial arts really turned my whole life around. It gave me that inner strength that I needed and then that positive strength to be able to pursue the goals that I've accomplished today. Truthfully, if it hadn't been for the martial arts, I don't know where I would be today because I wouldn't have gotten that strength to overcome the obstacles that I had to face throughout my life.
And you condense a lot of what you've learned throughout life, health, patriotism, Bill of Rights, Constitution. You know, I published a book called Descent into Tyranny in 2002, and I ended it with the Bill of Rights and Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And I just love seeing that that's how your book ended,
mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, I guess, you know, our brains think alike. That's what people need to get back to.
That's true, Alex. You know, the thing is, that's why I put it in there. A lot of people don't know what's in the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or the Declaration of Independence, and they really need to shore up on what is going on. And I'd like to get back to this fair tax concept just for a moment.
Oh, sure.
Because what most people don't realize is that we have over 3 million manufacturing jobs being outsourced to other countries. And why are they being outsourced? Because the taxes are draining them, and they can't make a go of it here in America with the taxation system we have. And there's over $17 trillion being hidden in offshore accounts by the super rich, probably more now because of what's going on. But the thing is, if we had a fair tax, Alex, we get all that money could come back into our economy and give our economy a huge boost.
What type
of manufacturing jobs could come back?
What type of fair tax do you like, Chuck Norris?
A consumption tax. You know, I believe, you know, if you can afford to buy something, you buy it. If you can't afford it, you wait till you have the money.
A sales tax.
Buy it.
A sales tax?
Consumption tax, yeah.
Yeah. I would be for that, sir, but I saw UN documents a decade ago. The mm-hmm. problem is what they're going to do is, and I do support one, they're not going to really get rid of the income tax. They're going to try to call it your Social Security tax and claim it's only 10% and then jack it up and try to run them all at the same time. I mean, I do agree that that's a constitutional tax and the income mm-hmm. tax is a not constitutional. Can you speak to the income tax? Half a million pages, nobody can follow it. Should that be abolished?
66,298 pages, Alex. I mean, who in the world knows what's in that? Charlie Rangel doesn't know, and, you know. And I mean, Tom Geithner. I mean, look at the people that are in government today who were basically tax evaders. The government says they made mistakes, but if we do it, we're tax evaders. You know, we go to jail. But the thing is that the IRS. Well, it was only became constitutional in 1913. A lot of people don't realize this, that the IRS was unconstitutional until 1913 when the government, when the Congress made an amendment, constitutional amendment, the 16th Amendment, to make it constitutional. And we've been going downhill ever since that time.
Well, yeah, the private Federal Reserve controls that. And I'm sure you've noticed you write your tax checks to the private mm-hmm. Federal Reserve. It's never been audited. Ron Paul's introduced a bill to audit the Federal Reserve. Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, the IRS is a Gestapo. You know, you're guilty until proven innocent. That's only one where you're guilty until proven innocent rather than innocent until proven guilty. And that's not fair. That's not right here in our country. And we're a country of freedom, and we need to do that. And I'm so upset. That's why I'm such a supporter of Glenn Beck. I really consider him, like you, Alex, I really consider you a crusader, and I consider Glenn Beck a crusader of what we need to do, because the whole thing is we're going to lose our Constitution. Patrick Henry said the Constitution is not an instrument for the government to restrain the people. It's an instrument for the people to restrain the government, lest it come to dominate our lives. And I believe that's what's happening to us today.
Yeah, it's meant to bind down the out-of-control behavior of dominant men. I've got a list of just quick questions here that I want to mm-hmm. make sure I get out while we have Chuck Norris live with us on this Friday the 13th. Unlucky for the elite, lucky for us. And let me just say, I like a lot of things Glenn Beck has to say and the things he does. Some of his foreign policy, I don't agree with. And you know, he early on really kind of criticized Ron Paul. Now he's embraced him. So yeah. I hope that that continues. I mean, Ron Paul is such a champion of liberty.
Well, I have a saying. I don't know if I told you. Anyway, you know all these Chuck Norris facts that are floating around for the last 3 years. Anyway, yeah. one of them is that America is not a democracy. It's a Chuck Patership. And I said, now, if that was true, I would go to Washington, to Congress. I'd line up all the members of Congress, and I'd have Ron Paul, who I believe is the most honest member of Congress, and I'd say, Ron, point out the honest and the dishonest politicians. And as we're walking down the row, Ron would say, well, he's honest, he's honest, he's dishonest. And I'd walk up to him, and I'd say, you're fired. And if he didn't move immediately, I'd choke him unconscious and drag him over to the pile. The only ones I wouldn't do that to is the women. Nancy Pelosi, I'd walk up and say, Nancy, you're fired, but you have all the time in the world to leave.
Chuck Norris, just amazing to have you on air with us. I want to get into what's coming up today with this nationwide simulcast. I've seen reports of a big announcement. Are you going to announce you're going to try to run for governor of Texas in 2010? Or are you going to announce you're going to run for president?
I did a little tongue-in-cheek article, you know, when I wrote about if things don't improve in our country, then maybe Texas should secede from the Union. Now it's tongue-in-cheek, you know. And I said, now if we secede from the Union, I will run for the president of Texas.
Well, you know, not talking about secession, but the states created the first 13, and we have the right to revolt, Article 10, in the New Hampshire and Texas, mm-hmm. you know, treated in.
Because we are a republic. Texas is a republic, so.
Exactly. We created the federal government, the states did, and the media spun this as secession. These 30-plus states are moving to redeclare 9th and 10th Amendment with all these unfunded mandates and federal control. What do you say to that?
Oh, I don't know. You know, I'm not really, I'm not up on that, Alex, so I can't really give an honest
opinion. But, I mean, states declaring their sovereignty, not seceding, just saying, we're not going to let the federal government boss us around.
Oh, is that I hope they do that. The thing is that's what the states have got to do. They've got to get control back of their people of that particular state. And if that's what they're saying, I'm totally in support of all that. We got to pull the power away from government. And, you know, because the thing is, you know, John Adams, our second president, stated that our Constitution was made only for a religious and moral people. And I really believe that, Alex, and it's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And the thing is, if we don't just maintain our faith and our moral values, you know, then the Constitution is going to wind up dissolving right in front of our eyes.
Chuck, I don't blame you about knowing about the state sovereignty movement because it just started a few weeks ago, but you're very influential when it comes to conservatives and libertarians and freedom lovers. So check into that because it's really building. Some of the other questions I have for you specifically, what are you going to be covering on this national simulcast tonight?
At 4 o'clock, you know. Is it raining in Austin?
Yes, it is raining in Austin.
Yeah, well, it's raining here at the ranch, too. But the thing is, you know, I just encourage all your listeners to tune in to Alex, to Glenn Beck today at 4 o'clock Central Time. And Glenn will really fill them in. He can do it a lot better than I can on what course of action that he believes we should take in our country. And I believe that people really should listen to Glenn today to find out exactly what he feels and how millions of us in America who are gathering together today to support the values that Glenn is going to emphasize on today.
Well, I agree with the 10 pledges up there. I mean, you know, the ideas there. Maybe we should go over some of those.
Because the thing is, you know, like Glenn says, the government works for me. I do not answer to them. They answer to me. Well, see, that's exactly right. You know, I truly believe that, too. The government works for us, you know. In fact, I had I wrote an article saying that, you know, President Obama, you work for me. We don't work for you. But the thing is, it's true, though. I mean, seriously, the government should be thinking about the best interest of the citizens of America, we the people, rather than thinking of the best interest for them. And there's so much corruption going on in Congress. I would love to see an audit of every member of Congress. Well, and because the only ones that we've audited so far are the ones that have come forward, like, you know, like Geithner and Daschle, and every one of them that have been picked for a position in government have come up dirty.
Well, Chuck Norris, that was my next question. Perfect timing there. Obama appointee on leave after FBI raid at their office and arrest. Like 90%, it's more than that, of people he tries to appoint don't pay taxes or tied in with payoffs or tied in with corruption.
Exactly.
And I've never seen, this is Chicago big machine stuff. I mean, this is getting scary.
It's very scary.
We see these reports.
Because the thing is, they have become so blatant, and, that they're not afraid. You know, it's like this one kid went up to Charles Rangel. You know, I don't know if you saw that or not, but anyway,
yes.
Some young man was videotaping him talking to Rangel and said, Congressman Rangel, why are we paying for your Cadillac, $800 a month for your Cadillac? Why don't you pay for it for yourself? And he said, it's none of your GD business.
Yeah, why does Nancy Pelosi...
But he says, none of your GD business,
Very arrogant. Well, Nancy Pelosi...
They're very arrogant, Alex, and because they don't think we the people can do anything about what they're doing, and we can't unless we group together, unless we unite. Right. There's nothing we can do.
Well, Chuck Norris, I know you're a very focused, centered, gentlemanly person, but laying it out, reading your article in WorldNet Daily and others, and listening to you on other radio shows and things you've said, you're talking about... Will the American people stand up, or will there be a revolution? If this is an information revolution that's happening, but I have the government documents. I have the secret state police reports that the feds give them, where they say Bob Barr, Ron Paul, Chuck Baldwin, libertarians, people with these stickers are dangerous. They're bad. They want to kill.
Who said that?
This is what the feds, this just went out this month, so clearly it's coming from the Obama people. It's up on Infowars.com. I've talked to the state police. They admit this was given to them by the feds to issue to their state police officers, saying people that own gold are bad. It's up on screen right now. It's the it's called the modern militia movement, but then it demonizes mainline libertarians and everybody and says, watch out for them. They're dangerous. I mean, It seems like people in the federal government right now realize the threat to them is people that are talking like you, Chuck Norris.
Yeah, I know. Well, the thing is the libertarians. A lot of my friends are libertarians, and I've even considered it at times. Because the Republicans are getting so far out there too. I mean, 40% of the Republicans voted for the stupid stimulus package. And that really frustrated me. They realize. But the thing is, there's the corruption. There's the greed right there, Alex. And
well, that was my next question. This is perfect. You keep bringing up the same points I was about to get to. Joe, I mean, look. I cut my teeth as a conservative. I'm pro Second Amendment. I'm a constitutionalist, paleo conservative, the real deal. Yeah. Bush tripled the size of government with the Democrats. Obama is set to quadruple it in the first 4 years, and saying he's going to cut the budget in half, insulting people with lies. And you talk about this not being left or right. I mean, how do we get the corruption out of both parties?
Voting them out. The thing is that's what we have to figure out. That's what we as the people have to figure out. And we have to put the fire on them saying, look, if you don't vote the way that we feel you should vote as the people, then you're going to be out. And, we wind up impeaching. We don't wait for them till their thing up. We wind up impeaching every member of Congress who is not working for the people and just working for themselves. We wind up impeaching them. If there's a legal way we can do that,
There is
a legal way of doing that. I think that's what we should do, is make them realize that we're going to impeach them if they don't start thinking of the best interests of the people that they represent.
Chuck, you can't see this because you're not watching PrisonPlanet.tv right now, but for viewers, I have the federally written report, secret report, and law enforcement sensitive for the state of Missouri, and we have these from all over the country. And it says Constitutional Party, Campaign for Liberty, Ron Paul, Bob Barr. These members are usually supporters of, and it goes on demonizing. They have a picture of the Don't Tread on Me flag. They said if somebody's wearing a shirt or has a bumper sticker, they're dangerous. But that's what Glenn Beck's using for the very symbol of what you guys are launching. This is what our founding fathers did. Our founding fathers aren't bad.
No, not at all. I really respect Ron Paul. I admire him. I admire his dedication, and I admire his staunchness on the Constitution. You know, that it's a solid formula, and that we cannot deviate from. And so that's why I'm a big supporter of Ron Paul. And we just got to, you know, it's so frustrating. I don't know. Thing is, I don't know what to do personally. All I can do is write articles about it and state how I feel about it. And it's up to the people. The people are the ones going to make the difference. Not Chuck Norris, yeah. Not Alex Jones. It's going to be the people as a whole that's going to make the difference in our country.
I agree.
We can do is say to them, here's the way, you know, we believe it should go. And either they accept it or they don't accept it. And the direction of our country will depend on that. We've got some dark times coming if we don't start making some changes.
Well, exactly.
Dark times in our country.
Well, in closing, Chuck Norris, that's what's happening, and you recognize it. Everybody's waking up on the left and right. Tyranny is here. I'm sure you've heard they want to use 20,000 regular army troops to patrol America. They're putting army liaisons in every major department. Obama's setting up youth brigades, a million-person group, and they've now launched it that will go door-to-door canvassing for him with federal funding. If it comes down to gun confiscation, which they're now proposing because of what's happening with the collapse of Mexico, they're blaming it on America. I mean, do we just say no to gun confiscation? Do we turn them in and go to the FEMA camps?
Well, the thing is, they're not getting my guns. I don't think they want to come to Texas and try that.
I agree.
They come to Texas and try to confiscate our guns, they're going to be in a world of hurt.
Well, the Declaration of Independence says it's our right and duty if
Absolutely.
The government becomes destructive of our form of government to remove it. So that's what I'm saying. The government, the criminal elements of it are gearing up to, and nobody's been a bigger supporter of the military police than you, and the police are upset. They're telling me they don't like what's happening. Like you said, the troops don't like what's happening. I think Obama and the globalists need to back off.
They will. When it gets right down to the grassroots, they're cowards. And they're not going to do anything that was going to turn the people against them. And so the thing is that we the people have got to stay strong. We got to stand up, stay strong, and say this is the way we want you to regulate our country. And if you don't do it, we will get you out of office. We'll impeach you or whatever it takes for us to get you out of office. And you're going to start representing us as a people, or you're not going to be around. You're going to be unemployed.
Chuck Norris.
I'll tell you what irritates me with this government, you know, that which they vote, the Congress has voted in for themselves. They serve one term, Alex, and they get 80% of their pay for the rest of their lives.
Oh, I know. It's like.
And then plus their pension and welfare and benefits, all that, they get 100% for the rest of their life. It's totally unfair.
And they want more and more.
And they still get more and more. Fannie Mae, gave contributions to Chris Dodd. And, I mean, the money they're raking in from the companies that have bellied up and the government is pouring billions upon billions of dollars into these companies, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, which are Freddie Mac's wanting more money now, and AIG, and it's just, they're going to bankrupt us. They're
Chuck
gonna
Norris.
Spend all of our money, and we're going to wind up becoming the United States of Asia or something, because China owns $2 million of our debt.
Chuck, that's what I wanted to say to you. The New World Order, globalism, the foreign banks that are taking over our country right now. I mean, on air, I mean, you know there's a New World Order. You said you've heard my show for years. Now that they're openly announcing world government that the banks are going to run, are you against that?
Oh, absolutely. Definitely. The thing is that what is China going to want? Hillary Clinton was over there trying to talk them into buying more of our debt. What are we going to give them for collateral?
Our land.
Are we going to give up our country as collateral for the debt that they've taken over from us? I mean, they could wind up taking over a big portion of our country.
Well, that's what's being announced.
We've got to stop this. We've got to stop this, Alex. People don't realize just how serious this is right now.
The book.
And if they don't realize, if they don't come and realize just how serious things are right now, we're going to wind up losing everything that we've got. Everything that America stood for is going to be gone.
Black Belt Patriotism is the book. Kickstart.com. Get involved with that. Chuck, let me say bye to you during this break, or if you've got the time, come back and finish up what you were just saying, because this is just now getting super powerful with Chuck Norris. We'll see what happens. Stay with us.
folks, we are back. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, and that was just the Chuck Norris interview with Alex Jones. I'm going to do a little bit of a news blitz, and then we're going to take your calls in the final couple of segments. All right. Tight-lipped U.S. firms pay for their silence. Basically, you know, now that the markets are going down, they don't, you know, companies like General Electric, Microsoft, Costco, and others don't want people to know what's going on. So they want people to keep quiet about what's going on in the business, and they're willing to pay for it. So shut your mouth. Washington Post to cut business section. Yes, folks, the Washington Post is no longer going to have a business section 6 out of the 7 days a week. I'm sorry. Is it 6 days a week? Yeah. The Washington Post will stop publishing a business section 6 days out of the week and move business news to the front section of the paper at a time when finance stories dominate world headlines. So they're just going to get rid of the section and basically tell you, you're screwed. The economy's done. Your job's gone. It's absolutely ludicrous that, I mean, just because business should be on the front page doesn't mean they should be getting rid of a business section. This is what reeks of propaganda. They're saying it's so important that we have to lose the section. It's all financial news. Give me a break. All right. It's just absolute ridiculousness. All right. More ridiculous news. U.S. Guantanamo inmates no more enemy combatants. So now they're inmates. They're not enemy combatants. They're saying they're going to return to the Geneva Conventions, but don't count on it. Okay. They're still going to torture these people. They're still going to waterboard them and say it's enhanced interrogation techniques. Okay, same thing going on. New face, same deal. All right, this guy's not really. He says he's closing Guantanamo. Give me a break. This is something for the leftists and the liberals to fawn over when there is zero substance to it. Zero substance. This one out of Fox. World unprepared for climate change. Despite years of study and analysis, the world is unprepared for climate change and needs to rethink basic assumptions that govern things as varied as choosing cars, building bridges, national research council projects, and toilet paper. Toilet paper, not part of this article, but we read an article last week where the UK is actually saying that the American consumption of soft toilet paper is worse than gas-guzzling SUVs. Oh, my. So, you know what? We can't wipe our bottoms anymore. We can't drive our cars. We probably can't live. Oh, I'm hitting buttons when I don't need to. I'm coughing on air when they're already hitting the button for me. Basically, they want to really regulate everything in our lives and then tax us for it. Tax us even more. You thought that... Chuck Norris spoke out against taxes. Well, believe me, folks, when the taxes hit carbon tax level, we're going to need a lot more people speaking out against them. Mexican drug lord makes Forbes richest list. I like this one. This one was a good one. You know, I was talking to Jones the other day, and they announced, you know, for the lamers, for the dumb people out there, that Bill Gates at about $40 billion is the richest man in the world. Meanwhile, Bill Gates doesn't print the money. Bill Gates doesn't, you know, rock the royalties, gold, and, you know, precious metals and diamonds and rubies collection that they have either. But people, you know, buy into this nonsense. But there are a few interesting things on the list, like this guy. How does a Mexican drug lord make it onto Forbes magazine's list of the world's richest people? Apparently, by amassing a $1 billion fortune as his country's most notorious drug trafficker. Well, yeah, he's the most notorious one. But I believe the, I don't want to accuse anybody, but I think the number three public richest guy under the world in the world right now is under Warren Buffett. His name's Carlos Slim, and he's also out of South America. Yeah, he wouldn't have anything to do with drug running or black ops. I can't imagine it. Meanwhile, Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, number 701 on the list, heads the Sinaloa cartel, one of the biggest cocaine suppliers to the United States, according to Forbes. Well, you know, since the cocaine is run through the CIA rogue groups within it, and of course the continuity of government program, yes, the shadow government that does exist, this should not be a shock to anybody. And it's just shocking that they actually put him on the list. But he's far enough down. You know, he's not top 10 material. He's not even top 100. He's 701. I guess it's okay to let people know that cocaine dealers are amongst the richest people on the in the globe. You mean he's an open cocaine dealer? It's insanity. I just read an article the other day.
The UN study says the last 10 years of efforts in the drug war, worthless.
You think it's worthless when the guy's on the Forbes top richest people list? Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it might be worthless? Oh, are you going to stop funding it? No, you're not. That's weird. I wonder why that is. Well, when the rogue governments are dealing the drugs, when the United States can go into Afghanistan with really no pretense, they can just say, you know, hey, this guy with a beard in a cave. Yeah. He just blew us up. We're just going to go over there and start dealing heroin. What do you think? They don't put it that way. They say, the enemy hates us. They hate our freedoms. They're going to kill more people. We got to go over there. As soon as we go over there, what do? We secure the oil pipeline space that we want to build for infrastructure. And we say, hey, farmers, we know the Taliban was shooting some of you and cutting off some hands and really cutting down that poppy. Bring it back. Yeah, you got carte blanche. Go for it. Well, we'll even protect those poppy fields for you. What do you think? We just want a little cut of the scratch. And the goat farmer's like, well, I can make a little more money with the poppy. That sounds good to me. I mean, we can eat every day this week? Every day? Oh, Allah, thank you so much. We can eat every day. You know, that's what they're looking at it. They're not looking at it like, oh, you know, heroin's bad. No, they see a means to an end. We live in poverty. I can make more growing poppy because heroin's popular. I'm going to do it. Immortal Technique really gets it right in that Third World album of his. Everyman Obama courts socialites. This one had me cracking up so much, especially because it's out of Fox News, that I had to bring it up. See, Obama's the everyman. Yeah, he wasn't funded by News Corp and Rupert Murdoch. He's the and Wall Street. No, he's the everyman. He's just like you and me. You know, off the mean streets of Chicago. I mean, could there be less of an everyman than the first, you know, black puppet president? I mean, he's not an everyman. He's a 1 in 6 billion man. Like, seriously, this guy, where has he really, you know, ooh, he can dribble a basketball. He can make a layup. He's an everyman. Meanwhile, now Obama's social skills have to be tested because he has to court socialites for their money. He's been courting the socialites since its inception because his backers are the socialites. Let me just read some of this propaganda for you. While publicly identifying with the nation's have-nots, yes, he is publicly identifying them through massive propaganda. Again, Amazing Spider-Man, Pepsi Cola, you know, MSNBC really just doing a total Obama snow job. The Obama administration has been cultivating the Beltway social elite behind the scenes. Behind the scenes? Behind the scenes? The guy's a Kissinger protege. Zbigniew Brzezinski was an advisor. Behind the scenes, he went to the Bilderberg Group. We've been reporting on this before the man was the president. I mean, before he even got the Democratic nod. Behind the scenes, he's courting the Beltway's elite. And they make it seem like the Beltway elite are like these really true Christian and conservative people. They're not. They go to these same clubs, these same things me and Skelton were talking about, you know, in the previous segment. They're in the Bohemian Grove. You know, they went to Yale. If they weren't in, you know, Skull and Bones, they were in Scroll and Key, or they were in Book and Snake. What it really amounts to is they're elitists who are looking out for themselves and not us. But, you know, Fox News, everyman Obama. He's the everyman. Earlier this year, the Obama administration invited top editors of three of Washington's local luxury lifestyle magazines, Capital File, DC Magazine, and Washington Life, to a meeting where they discussed, among other things, how President Obama and the First Lady Michelle Obama can embrace Washington's glittery social scene. Folks, he was made president from being a state senator into a senator who served less than half his term. You don't think he knows his way around the Washington social scene? I mean, what kind of drugs are we on? Prozac, Paxil. Let me name a couple other ones of the delicious Ritalin. You know, we're on some pretty terrible stuff to be believing this Johnny nonsense. He's in D.C. He's been the president now for over, I think it's about 2 months now, right? The 13th will be 2 months. Today's the 13th. That's what he was inaugurated on. So he's been president for 2 months. You don't think he knows how to get around the Washington social scene? He was their golden boy. He was getting around the Washington social scene in 2004 when he was still a state senator. And they were like, hey, how would you like to get on the public scene? You're a good speaker. You can really go with our agenda. How would you like a little more power, son? I mean, that state senator spot, it doesn't suit you well. We could make you a real senator, and Barack's a real senator. Really? And they're like, yeah, why don't you write a book? You write a book, we can really push you. And then all of a sudden, he writes this book. Oh, I had a troubled youth. I couldn't stay away from the drugs. I smoked pot. I did blow. I maybe even smoked a little crystal meth. And everybody's like, oh, this guy is the everyman. He's admitting it off the bat, and then nobody attacks him on that? Any other politician that admitted that kind of drug use, I don't care that it's 2008, they would have got slammed by their own party. But not Obama, not Barack, Peter Parker's my best buddy, Obama. Barack Hussein Obama. I love it when they put H. Obama instead of Hussein Obama because of the negative connotation of Hussein, even though it's a really common Middle Eastern name. People would have attacked him on that if it was anybody else. I mean, folks, peel back the veil. I mean, just please, please think about what's going on. All right, I want to play this clip. Web founder warns against website snooping. I actually did a little Bobby Bloggins about this 2 or 3 days ago over at theinfowarrior.com. But basically, one of the founders of the web is like, hey, guess what? The government and the private corporations are going to gain your information. They're going to sell it to each other, and they're going to analyze everything you do, and then they're going to basically sell you on what they know you're most perceptible at. And they're just going to share your info. There's no privacy anymore. This is the Big Brother police state. Let's hit the clip. Out of Reuters.
This is Tim Berners-Lee handed a document entitled Information Management, a Proposal to his supervisor at the European Nuclear Research Organization, CERN, in March of 1989. He could not have imagined the forces he would set in motion. The initial idea was to give CERN scientists a single information network on which to share all computer-based information at the laboratory. His boss thought the idea was vague but exciting and gave him the go-ahead to continue. That work provided the foundation for what would become the World Wide Web, the network of networks that continues to profoundly reshape the way we live our lives. So what's in store for the next 20 years? Eric Oshard is a Reuters columnist who writes about technology trends and has covered the beat for 15 years.
The first thing that's already happening is that we're connecting a lot more devices. The first 10 years or so of the web was all about connecting computers up. Increasingly, we're connecting up our mobile phones. Lots of aspects of our lives will be connected to the web that aren't just what you do when you're sitting in front of a computer.
Though the World Wide Web has been a transformational force in terms of making information available to a greater number of people across longer distances, that very openness has proved to be a disruptive force to many businesses. Currently, the most pressing argument for change in some media organizations has more to do with economic conditions, something Wired magazine's editor-in-chief Chris Anderson addressed on a recent visit to London.
The real change in economic crisis for free is the shift away from sole dependency on advertising to one where actually find ways to directly charge consumers for some product. Not that you would make your everything you do pay, but that you would have a free version and a pay version. This is called freemium.
But 20 years on, there's no going back. In fact, the author who coined the term cyberspace, William Gibson, has suggested that in the future, a person's ability to connect with others through technology will be just as important as their physical state.
I imagine the thing that would most characterize the poor of the later 21st century wouldn't be hunger or poverty in the traditional sense, but a lack of connectivity.
And with every web-based interaction, from tweets to Facebook pokes, we venture further into this unexplored territory. Matt Cowan, Reuters.
It's really interesting that they bring up CERN there, because CERN, of course, is right now the ones trying to use the Large Hadron Collider to take these two beams of energy that can only be made at this incredible temperature, that it actually takes a while for these beams to be put into that thing, and then slam them together to see if it creates life. Some people have said, oh, it might create a black hole.
They were supposed to do it over the summer. They had some malfunctions. And, you know, I mean, CERN just has their hands on everything. I had no idea that CERN was behind the World Wide Web. Web founder warns against website snooping. Surfers on the internet are at an increasing risk for governments and corporations tracking the sites they visit to build a picture of their activities. The founder of the World Wide Web said on Friday, Tim Berners-Lee, whose proposal for an information management system at the European Organization of Nuclear Research, CERN, 20 years ago led eventually to the World Wide Web, said tracking websites' visits in the way could build an incredibly detailed profile of who people are and their habits. That form of snooping, I think, is really important to avoid, he told an anniversary celebration at CERN. I'm actually surprised this is getting as much press as it is. You know, you got to figure, you know, that they don't want this kind of attitude. They want to bring an internet to, you know, they want the infrastructure to fail. All right, let's go to a caller. Let's go to Sean in Colorado. Sean, what's on your mind?
Hey, Jason. Thanks again for everything you guys do out there.
Thank you.
But real quick, I just wanted to mention this is a video or YouTube video that I hadn't seen out before.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's pretty telling. I quit paying for cable about a year ago, and through the digital television conversion and everything, I get a lot of interesting channels, one of which is called RT, Russia Today. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. Yeah. And I was not paying attention whatsoever. It was just on my television. I was on the internet reading and looking into things. And they had an interview on with Mikhail Gorbachev.
Mm-hmm.
And the point of the interview was kind of, I don't think it was live the day I saw it, but it was...
Come back on the other side and tell us what Gorbachev had to say. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. Remember, we're at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. Segment of the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis. I just want to remind everybody I do this little show from 9 to midnight Central Time, 5 nights a week, Monday through Friday. And folks, it's only going to get bigger and better. More guests. But we've had some great guests this week in the last 2 weeks. Tex Mars. We're going to have Jim Mars in. We just had Gerald Celente. We just had Joseph Skelton. We're working on getting Amy Allen, hopefully in studio next week. We'll see what happens there. That'll be great if we do that. She was a really fun guest. But right now we're on the phone with Sean. And Sean, you said, just finishing up because we only got a couple of minutes here, you said you saw an interview with Gorbachev on Russia television. Tell us about it.
Yeah, well, first of all, I bet you would like Amy Allen in studio. She's a beautiful freedom fighter, my friend. But
wouldn't be a bad time.
No, I bet it wouldn't be. But, you know, this is not that big of a deal to us that know. Anytime people talk about the New World Order. But I haven't seen this one out here, and I think it's pretty telling as far as when we talk about Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, I don't know, Jason. I think you're around my age. I mean, the end of the Cold War and all that was going around when I was very, very young. You know, Mikhail Gorbachev was, and Reagan and everything was all you heard about back then, even though
Gorbachev was just everybody was always like commenting on his birthmark on his forehead. That was the big SNL skit they would use against him, like, oh, the guy has something on his forehead. Continue.
Well, they got to look at anything other than the truth or what's really going on. Well, anyways, through not having cable and through getting a lot of extra public access channels, one of which is called Russia Today, and if people will go to russiatoday.com, and when they go to that front page, there's a search, emblem there, and if they will just simply put in Mikhail Gorbachev's name, the first video that will come up is, it says something about a Russia something empire. And basically
interviewees asking Mikhail Gorbachev about what he thinks, where the direction Russia has gone since he has, you know, left power.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't listening to this. I was reading, you know, real news on the internet and just had it on television. And then out of corner of my ear, I hear him talking about the New World Order.
Oh.
And, yeah, and this was before I even realized that this channel that says RT on the bottom of the screen meant Russia Today.
Mm-hmm.
So all of a sudden my attention's diverted. I'm trying to, you know, it takes me a while to realize that the channel's Russia Today. So I get online, go to RussiaToday.com,
mm-hmm.
and I'm searching heavily for this interview. And that's what I did. I put in Mikhail Gorbachev, and the first thing that came up was that interview. And I went back through because, like I said, I wasn't listening
mm-hmm.
really when I heard him say that the New World Order just caught my ear.
Yeah.
And basically what it says there, and I would like everybody to go see it, and again, this isn't anything huge to people like you or I or anybody else listening. We know it's real. We know they talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And but what he basically says, and I'm not quoting it here. I trust everybody. They'll go look for it themselves. But about halfway through that interview, and it's nice, too, because to the right of the a lot of the interview's nonsense, but to the right of the interview, they have it in print. So if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, you could scroll down and read it. But she basically asks Mikhail Gorbachev what he thinks about Vladimir Putin's policy and what he's done with the state of Russia. Mm-hmm. And he says, as clear as day, that... Do I need to hold over?
No, this is it. This is your last shot right now.
Okay,
the end of the show.
He says as clear as day that the end of the Cold War was the East's way to join the West in forming the New World Order.
Listen, we're going to check that out. I thank you so much for the call, my man. I know there was more about Obama. We're going to find that video. We're going to do a story of it over at InfoWars.